Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is Mornings with Ian Smith on SENZ.
Morena, New Zealand. Good morning to you around the country this morning. Reporting in from a damp, soggy Hagley Oval, but hopefully for not much longer because I can see light on the horizon here. It is Louis through till 10 o'clock, and then Daniel McCarty will take over with Smithy and Coney and co, and that'll be fantastic because we have the potential for a historic day here at Hagley. 31 years since we last bet Australia in Test cricket on these shores. That's not my lifetime. That is not my lifetime. There you go. So it would be special for many people today. Of course, the Black Caps, New Zealand cricket, the support staff, the fans that will come and sit on these soggy banks, I guarantee you they will, because people know that this doesn't come around too often. We need to pick up wickets. We need a couple of wickets fast. Mitch Marsh and Travis Head is the partnership to break. Alex Carey has not been in form. Two wickets into the bowlers. It could be all on here as they chase 200-odd to pip us on the post. So, the lads will be up after 10 o'clock and set the scene for you. They'll talk cricket. What am I going to talk this out? Well, I'm going to talk to you on 0800 150 811. I want to talk cricket. How much would it mean to you to beat Australia today? We have really had to sit here and think long and hard about the selections of this team, where this team was going, some of the decisions that were being made on and off the field, where we are going to be, look what this team will look like in 12 months, 18 months, 2 years' time. Ben Sears' performance yesterday, quite staggering, a real promising sign for the future. Will O'Rourke in the last test as well. How much would it mean to you today to beat Australia here at Hagley? First time in 31 years on our shores. The only people in this team to have done it at all, Kane Williamson and Tim Southee in Hobart 2011. 0800 150 811. I would love to talk to you about that. I'd also love to talk to you about the weekend of sport in general. Joseph Parker, Patrick McKendry's coming up from One News in just a second. TVNZ, he's going to run us through that performance by Joe Parker, which his rivals are saying he's going to go down in history now, and I think that is probably fair enough. Super Rugby, who wants to get the boot stuck in about the Crusaders? Come on, you've only got a limited time only with me left, so you better do it. 0800 150 811. And the Warriors, I thought they overraced, to be honest. I thought they overraced. They looked far too keen and disjointed. They'll be better for the gallop. Maybe take some of that freshness off and they'll come back. Hey, Warriors fans, don't worry. You're still a mathematical chance at the eight. Haha. It is 5 minutes past 9 o'clock. Let's crack into it. Let's just keep moving. We're going to get stuck into it right away here with Patrick McKendry. He's been good enough to take our call this morning. Digital sports reporter at One News. TVNZ does very good work. He has followed Joseph Parker's career right from the beginning. And as Parker probably could have got lost over this very busy sporting weekend, well, not with us here, because this is significant. Beating Zhilei Zhang on a decision after going 12 rounds, getting sat down, had to stand back up, and in typical Parker fashion, just such a charismatic and cool dude, said he didn't want to be part of his highlight clip. He did not want to be part of the hype train for Zhilei Zhang going forward, so he had to get up and win this fight. Pat, morning to you, mate. You must have loved this performance from Parker, although the fight might not have been the most beautiful thing in the world.
Good morning, Louis. I was actually at my son's cricket at the time, so I didn't see it live. But obviously, getting the update through, I was extremely keen to get back and watch it. And sensational performance, and one that, you know, highlighted Joe's supreme courage and bravery, really, to haul himself off the canvas twice, and despite that, winning pretty convincingly, I thought.
Hey, Pat, Chris Harris's son actually got run out on Saturday. How did your son go? Did he get barbecued by his skipper, or were there any runs in the offing?
He was not out. I think he scored 11 off 24 balls. He's very keen on preserving his wicket these days, probably a little bit too much. So he's turning 13 next month, so yeah, he's really starting to like cricket, but I think he just needs to find that right balance between run scoring and preserving his wicket. But he enjoys it, and he's certainly enjoying this test at the moment in Christchurch.
Wow, I mean, that's I know we're a bit off topic already, but that is the kind of the intended consequences of a day like today. Your son, 13, yeah, gets to watch a famous victory, and then all of a sudden, you know, he could be a future black cap or, you know, whatever around the country. There'll be many of those stories, you know. It's important, isn't it, to have our teams firing and kind of delivering for the next generations?
100%. And, you know, blow the horn of my employer a little bit, TVNZ, you know, for TVNZ to be able to put it out free to wear, I think that's hugely significant for the country and the game.
Totally agree. And I really do agree. I think it has made a difference with people that might have got a little bit disconnected from the fans, from the sport over the last wee while it was paywalled. Pat, this fight, maybe not everyone would have seen it for that reason as well, but those Joseph Parker has had to be resilient here. Early doors, it looked like it was kind of a bit of a feeling out. Has that Zhile Zhang stood out to me as huge, and the way he was in that southpaw stance, I just didn't know how Parker was going to get in close enough to be able to hurt him, but it really was a fight that he had to take the absolute distance, didn't it?
Look, I think that the big difference with Joe's career now under Andy Lee and that team that he's got in the UK and Ireland is the preparation that he's doing. And it's not only the training, you know, the conditioning and the nutrition. It's the quality sparring partners he's getting now. And he sparred with four top-quality southpaws. There was always a question about how Joe was going to face a southpaw because he's only fought one as a professional before. He didn't look all that convincing in beating him either, to be honest. But he fought two guys from... He was sparring with two guys from Croatia, an English guy who's a very young... A young guy, Moses Atuma. He's a future world champion, according to Andy Lee, and another guy from the USA. So I think, you know, in the world of high performance, high quality preparation generally means high quality performances, and I think that's what we're getting now from Joe. He's also following a game plan. He seems to be focused throughout. He doesn't drift mentally, and I think he's found a style which other fighters are finding incredibly hard to combat. He's getting in and out. He's doing damage and then getting out of range, and that suits him perfectly. So he's in a really great place at the moment.
How much of that comes down to fitness and the base of fitness he has been able to build, A, by staying really active, and then B, by working with Andy? And those guys seem like they have now got a very regimented way to build up for a fight, and it is working.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that staying busy thing is really important. That's very significant. That's what Joe's doing. His last fight was just before Christmas in a sensational win against Deontay Wilder. He's fighting regularly, and that's helping him in terms of momentum, fitness, everything. And that's kind of unusual, strangely, in the world of professional boxing with heavyweights. They don't tend to fight that often, and they don't tend to look great as a result. Like, Deontay Wilder looked terrible. And Zhile Zhang looked really tired. There's always been question marks about his gas tank, but, you know, he had nothing in the second half of that fight apart from the knockdown in the eighth round. So, yeah, fighting regularly is absolutely key for Joe. And he's found a sweet spot in terms of the guys he's got around him, the nutritionist and trainer George Lockhart and Andy Lee, his head trainer. And, you know, I noticed Joe always makes an effort to you know, include those guys when he talks about his own performances, because it's so important to him. He really does fight as a team.
It's kind of appeared this way for a wee while, Pat, but it's not been more clear than I think right now that his career's kind of had two halves to it. And the second part, he's still a young man. He's 32. I know for a long time we kind of pontificated about when you get out, and he always said he didn't want to be too old and, you know, brain damaged. I know it's not very tactful, but genuinely, he kind of wanted to maintain his health. But now the second part of his career is surging. I mean, he's probably got to be wondering, how good can I be again? Which is, it's quite rare.
Yeah, it is a bit. I think in terms of when heavyweights reach their peak, it's probably about 34. You know, going by what others sort of say. And Joe's obviously 32, turning 33, so... he's got a couple of really good years potentially in front of him. So, you know, who knows what he might achieve over the next couple of years with the heavyweight division as it is. But right now, he's in a great spot. He needs to do the rematch, and it sounds like Zhang is keen to do the rematch, so he has to beat him again. But if and when he does that, he's going to be the mandatory challenger to the WBO title currently held by Alexander Usyk. So Usyk obviously is going to fight Tyson Fury in May, and I think that's a two-fight deal, so they have to fight twice. And then we'll see how things work themselves out.
To your eye, is there anything, I mean, this rematch, like for Zhang, the reason he's lost is probably more about the position in his career. He's older, he's bigger. It's probably stuff he kind of can't necessarily go away and change with a different sort of style. Is that how you see it as well? I mean, I don't know if Park would be too worried getting back in there again with him, would he?
I hope he is. If it does happen, I hope he is a little bit worried, you know, for his sake. And now there's New Zealand boxing fans, but
naturally, you know what I mean.
But I do know what you mean. And I think mentally, it must be quite hard for Zhang to think, well, I knocked him down twice. I pretty much hit him with everything I had, and he just kept getting up. So I don't know. It must be quite tough to sort of think, what else can I do to stop this guy? Or because he's not going to beat him over 12 rounds. So he has to stop him, and if Joe showed, you know, what sort of a chin he has again, it must be mentally quite tough to think, how am I going to go about that and actually beat this guy? So I think the odds are in Joe's favour.
Just on, like, trying to find some form references across the heavyweight division, looking at the way Anthony Joshua just kind of, I guess, outboxed Ngannou, then got to use his trademark power. That was a nice moment for AJ, who has had to go through his own lot of adversity as well.
Yeah.
That Tyson Fury fight now, it'll probably stick out a wee bit with Ngannou. Is that purely just under preparation, didn't take it seriously? That's just a bit of an outlier for Tyson, or is there any suspicion that a little bit older and further on in his career, he might be over the hill? And then put that in context with the kind of cut above the eye and the Usyk fight being put out. If you can kind of put the pieces together for us, Pat, is there any query around Tyson at the moment?
I don't know. I think you probably have to look at his trilogy against Deontay Wilder as well. Like, obviously that first drawn fight, and then, you know, he came back to win pretty convincingly the next two. But he struggled at times against Wilder, and Joe didn't really seem to struggle at all, did he? So I do think he underprepared for Ngannou. He didn't take him seriously. I think he was probably lulled into a false sense of security by some of the stuff coming out of Ngannou's camp. I think he will be taking the Usyk fight far, far more seriously, because it's, you know, such a hugely significant fight for all the belts. Probably can't read too much into that performance, but there would be a question mark about Fury, because he's so unpredictable, isn't he? Fury's mindset, how dig he wants to deep in his camp to prepare for this fight and for future fights. So, I think Usyk will probably beat him. I think he's skillful. He's probably going to be too skillful to fit. To have too many weapons in his armory, and he's an awkward southpaw as well. So, but that's a fight I'm hugely looking forward to. But I'm also looking forward to, you know, the potential for Fury to fight Anthony Joshua. I think that would be absolutely massive, the Battle of Britain. You know, no matter what happens to Fury against Usyk, that'll be a huge, huge fight.
That's exactly right, and it kind of means that the stakes are a little bit different. I was just thinking as you were talking, would Fury losing to Usyk dent his legacy? Would it change the way people think about him? And I actually don't think it really would.
No, I don't think so. He's achieved some great things over his career, and he's still undefeated. That's a significant achievement in itself. So, no, I don't think so. He's had to overcome incredible adversity in his life. So, you know, that by itself, I think, means his legacy will be a great one. Just on Josh, you know, obviously he's had to come back from a few losses. I think that's what he was getting at when he talked about Parker and that story I wrote yesterday. Joe never dodged anyone, and I don't think you can say the same about all the heavyweights going around at the moment. He's never dodged anyone. He's always wanted to fight the best, and it's never mattered where either. And so I think Joe's kind of a throwback fighter to the old days, where the heavyweights didn't really worry about their records. They just went in and fought anyone and everyone. So yeah, I think that was those comments were quite nice. Obviously, coming from, you have to recognise that Joshua has beaten Parker in the past. So, but still, I thought they were quite nice comments from him.
Yeah, that's right. You can go read Pat's story on the One News Sport website there, and you're right. He said he's had his trials and tribulations, and he just comes back stronger and stronger, obviously. I'll fight him if I need to, but aside from that, I'll take my hat off to him. So it is nice comments, and I think you'd struggle to find anybody in the whole game across any of the divisions, any promoter that would disagree with it, and that's the beauty about JP. He's just got such a high approval rating, and now he's doing it in the ring again. It's amazing stuff. Pat, hey, before I let you crack on with your Monday and settle in for some test cricket, and I can report, by the way, Pat, that it's starting to lighten up here. The rain has gone. The covers are slowly being peeled back, so I think we should be good to go.
Brilliant.
We are obviously in Christchurch. This is obviously a touchy subject for me, but the Crusaders are 0-3, so just tread carefully, but please be as honest as you can without hurting my feelings.
Yep. Well, that's the worst record, isn't it, since the worst start to a season since 1996, I think. The forgotten year, as they refer to it at the Crusaders.
The forgotten year. Yeah, never happened.
Look, probably a bit of a perfect storm happening there, I'd say. A lot of inexperience in key positions around halfback and first five. I think a midfield that probably isn't working all that well at the moment. I'm not sure how much of a success Levi Almua has been, and I don't think David Havili is in great form either. And you've got a few All Blacks who just appear a little bit underdone. That's a pretty tough start. The other thing is, I think that their defensive system isn't great. I don't think it worked very well against the Chiefs, but they certainly came back in the second half against the Chiefs and Hamilton. But they just missed far too many tackles against the Waratahs in Melbourne, and again against Ndrua and Lautoka. You can't afford to do that at that level. It's simple as that. And, you know, obviously they hang their hat on their set piece. That's how they turn the screws on the opposition, but again, that hasn't been working either. Wonky lineouts, technical issues at scrum time. As I say, a bit of a perfect storm, unfortunately, Louis.
Yes. No, that was good, Pat, actually, that you were honest, but you were tactful, and you kind of, I think that was fine. I think that makes sense. I don't want to write them off, but I'm also very conscious that this competition seems quite even this year, and the Hurricanes were really good. It's so nice to see teams like the Reds, even the Force and Moana, Pacifica, Rebels, Highlanders, Waratahs. It's just so nice to see them all competitive, which means that I don't think the Crusaders are going to be able to rattle off like a 10-game win streak or something and just chop a bunch of games together. I think they'll probably have harder times just picking up a massive streak like they tend to do. So 0-3 all of a sudden looks a whole lot worse when you put it in the context of the competition. That's how I'm feeling about it.
You're right. And you got to look back too. Rob Penny, obviously new coach this year with the Crusaders. He was 0-5, was he? Or 0-6 with the Waratahs before he got sacked. How much is that going to be back on his mind? It's probably not going to happen at the Crusaders, I must say. But still, that's an extra element that Rob Penny may be encroaching a little bit into the sun.
You were going good. Then you start throwing out grenades like that. That's you've just put one of those. I'm Parker, you're Zhang, and I'm on the ground. So I'm gonna have to stand up, be resilient to finish this out. Nice to chat to you, mate. Really good to talk some boxing and rugby. Appreciate it.
No worries, Louis. Cheers, mate.
There you go, Patrick McKendry, fantastic sports journalist at One News. Does a hell of a job, covered boxing for a very, very long time. And like that Joseph Parker result, it's significant for him, it's significant for the heavyweight division. And I genuinely think that we should be extremely proud of this guy, not just for this result, but the way he's been able to, continue moving forward in the face of adversity. Really, really good stuff. The Crusaders, can they move forward in the face of adversity? Well, they probably will pick up a win at some stage this season. Am I handling it well? 0800 150 811. If you want to talk rugby with me, this is your chance. But I would really, 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 really like to talk cricket. 0800 150 811. How much would it mean to you to pick up this test victory today? How much would it mean to you? Because we haven't beaten Australia in test cricket at home in my lifetime. It would mean so much to me. I love the Black Caps. They frustrate the living daylight out of me. I'm certain some of you will feel like that as well. But boy, I love this team. And speaking of resilience, they have had to dig deep this series, this summer. Matt Henry spoke about it a couple of days ago. They love to fight. They love to scrap. And that's what they'll do. And that's what they did yesterday. Ben Sears, have we found another one? 0800 150 811. Come through, talk cricket. Who do we have to pick up first? Marsh, Head? And are you nervous? Because I've got to be honest, there's some people in my personal life that are telling me we still can't do it. They are that paranoid about the Australian zombies that they are terrified we can't close this out. What do you think? 0800 150 811 8833. Come on through. It's clearing. What a beautiful, beautiful Christchurch day it will be. The covers will be off in no time, I promise you. The boys will take over from 10, but before then, it's over to you. Give us a call here on SCNZ. SENZ, it's 27 minutes past 9 o'clock. I'm sitting here at Hagley Oval as the covers continue to be peeled back. Just one remaining layer now as the day finds here in Christchurch. 0800 150 811. Yes, we're in Christchurch. 50 years ago, pretty much to the day, the first time New Zealand beat Australia in Test cricket was in the Garden City. 50 years ago. Amazing. Now, I don't know how many listeners we would have that would have been there, but it sounds like Bruce, who's in Christchurch, you might remember that test fondly.
I certainly do. It was the first test I'd ever been to all 5 days, and for New Zealand to beat Aussie was just unheard of, really. It was a stunning game because it fluctuated from session to session. No one was getting too far ahead, and then the other team would come back. And I think the highest innings total was only around 250.
Yeah.
And Glenn Turner got 100 in each innings.
Yeah.
First innings he played and missed a lot. Wasn't a great innings. And I think he was on 99 overnight and then took at least half an hour to get the century. And then the next ball he was out.
Yeah.
But second innings he played beautiful innings. It was he was calm, collected, and sure us through to victory. But I do remember when Turner was batting with Hastings, and Hastings hit I think it was Ashley Mallett for a boundary, and it looked like it could have been a six, and they weren't too sure. And Turner went down to the umpires to say, "Oh no, I think it's only a four." And Ian Chappell told him in no uncertain fashion to butt out and pull his head in.
Only Chappelli could.
It was great.
Hey,
it was great theatre.
Bruce, that's the first test you ever went to all 5 days, 50 years ago. Same city,
correct.
Same opposition, a chance to beat them again today. What would it mean to you, mate?
Yep. Oh, absolutely everything. The main thing, I think, is respect. I was up in the basin watching the test last week, and there's a few obnoxious Aussies behind us getting quite paranoid and saying, "Oh, you're playing with the big boys now." And just for them to actually say, "Well, actually, yeah, we do respect you guys." I'd love us to win. If we don't, but it's a good finish, so be it. But to win would be the icing on the cake. And I'm actually with the two guys who I sat with the whole time 50 years ago, and I posted their the picture of us up on the Black Caps fans on Facebook. So it's been special. It really has. The first day of this test was quite flat, and it's kind of lacked the atmosphere that the basin had, but the last 2 days have been great cricket. It really has.
Well, so you would have been here yesterday afternoon as Ben Sears started to really get into his work, and that caught and bowled off Labuschagne. Smithy said it was a moment. I'm not sure if you have the transistor in your ears while you're watching, Bruce, but it was a moment, wasn't it? And I guess via having some out-of-form players and some interesting selections, we've found a couple of new Black Caps, like Ben Sears here, who will be able to contribute for a long period of time. So for someone that's watched this team for a very long span, you've seen lots of people come and go, but yesterday afternoon must have been a very memorable one for you.
It certainly was, and I'm a big fan of Matt Henry, have been for a long time. He was the guy, the go-to guy when Southey or Bolt or Wagner was injured. Oh, who's around? We'll bring in Matt for one test. So have one test here and then one test in a few months' time. Never got that rhythm going in his bowling. So I'm really thrilled for him. He's deserved it. And it's just a shame that we didn't have Wags in there. I don't know what's going on between him and Southey, but he would have been such a better proposition having Kugelein in there. But anyway...
Bruce,
that's my opinion.
No, you and your two old pals, I want you guys to have the best day today, and I think that you can enjoy the day. Hopefully you can enjoy the day and you can make sure that you have an absolute super one, because you won't get too many more of these. I don't know. It doesn't happen that often. 50 years ago, amazing call. Really appreciate it, mate.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you, Bruce. That's one of the best calls I've ever had. Oh, really special stuff. 50 years ago. It's almost crazy to me that that is to the day. And it really feels like quite symbolic, doesn't it? So we don't get to talk to people like Bruce too often. That was really special. Can I go to Zane in Auckland? Let's catch up with Zane in Auckland. Zane, you just sat there and listened to Bruce. How much would it mean to you today to knock the Aussies off?
Firstly, I was in kindergarten in 1974. So my first memory of beating Australia is probably... In the early 80s, as far as one-day cricket goes, and then the great 85-86 tour when Hadley just cleaned up. We should have won all three tests in that one over there in Australia, but still 2-1, I'll take it. Just something, and I do wonder if this could maybe be something that the commentators could talk about. Can anyone believe that this test match... is not just raking in the millions worldwide for New Zealand cricket? I mean, I scour the internet every morning with my coffee and read all the sports stories around the world. This game's been reported on everywhere. India, BBC, you know, it's a great game, but it's shaping up really well for today. But, you know, I've read all the articles... about how the ICC model, et cetera, something really has to be done. We can't be playing Australia or have been touring here every 7 or 8 years. It should be every 4 years. It should be a minimum of 3 tests.
Zane, the commentators can overhear me now, Zane, and I will definitely pass on to them that you'd like to hear that spoken about. Why don't we play these guys more? I know they've talked about it a lot, but you're right. We can't have them here every 7 or 8 years, especially when the cricket's this good and the intensity's this high. So I know that's something that they'll get into throughout the day. Appreciate your call, mate. Really nice stuff. We'll go to Joey in Auckland. Let's go to Joey. Joey, I know you love it. What would it mean today to knock the Aussies off for you, mate?
Oh, it'd be massive, mate. You know, Louis, you know, because this is what we want. We want them to be coming over to play us. We want them to be saying, "Hey, New Zealand are a good enough side to come and play every 2 years, every 4 years, or whatever. Every 2 years would be nice, or whatever, or every year if you could, you know." And we're playing for a massive trophy. And it'll bring back a lot, you know, to us to be competitive, in which we are, we have been, you know. You take away the 174 in the first test that Watson scored, and we were very competitive. And this is what we want. We just don't, you know, if we can get over the line, and I think we've got a massive show now with that little bit of rain and that little bit of dew on the pitch could make all the difference with the bounce and the movement.
Joey,
and swing.
The only thing about that is, it might be right for swing bowling, but you just wouldn't want the ball, because I think it's 20-plus overs old now, you just wouldn't want it getting too damp out there. You wouldn't want the ball getting too wet. These guys, Marsh and Head, they'll try to take it to us this morning. They'll probably try to survive, and then I imagine they'll try to put the pressure back on the Black Caps and say, hey, there's a reason you don't beat us this often, and they'll probably try and get on top and bully us. One wicket, then two wickets, and it's all on Donkey Kong. Appreciate your call, Joey. Got to keep moving. Brian's on the Hibiscus Coast. Nice part of the world, Brian. What would it mean to you to knock the Aussies off today if we were so lucky?
Well, first of all, I was at Eden Park in 1956 to see New Zealand's first ever Test cricket win, and that was over the West Indies.
56,
that's
Brian.
68 years ago.
Wow.
We'll park that one now. I'm coming up 90 in three months. Now, I enjoyed Bruce's call. I was fishing with a mate up in Waiwera on the day that of that test match, and I had my transistor with me, and as we were catching the odd snapper, I was listening to that game down in Christchurch. Now, to the present, I hope that Southey does not open the bowling this morning.
Yes.
Because he could easily leak 20 or 30 runs in the first three or four overs because he's lost pace and he is easy to hit by the good batsman these days. If he's got anything going for him, he should open with Henry and then Ben Sears straight away. Because you give Travis Head a bit of a start, that guy will get 100 today. So you've got to go in with the top man, and that's Henry followed by Sears.
Brian?
If Southey bowls himself and gets hit around and gives them a bit of a look at the ball, we're in trouble. I hope I'm wrong, but I worry about Southey's captaincy. No,
Brian, it's a wonderful call. You want to open the bowling with Ben Sears and Matt Henry this morning. I would just leave you with this, Brian. If you do get your wish, what would that signpost about Southey's career and where he's going if he makes that decision himself? Just have a think about that. If he does that, indeed, if he thinks that's the best interest of the team, what do you think would come next? Just have a think about that one, Brian. We'll go to Mikey, one more call. Mikey, then we'll take a break and come back. Mikey, the conditions have cleared. Can this be a famous one?
Oh, my God, Louis. I was talking to you on Friday and talking about how my glass was full.
Yes.
I smashed that to the ground halfway through the day in a grump, walked away. Came back to when we were bowling later on in the day, and I've been glued to my couch for the last 2 days. Probably some of the best cricket I've seen in a while for us, test-wise, against quality opposition. It would mean absolutely everything to me. I would dine out in this all year if we beat the Aussies. But like McCarty says, they're the zombies.
They are the zombies.
We've just got to put more bullets in their head and just keep them down. But if we win, my God, yep, I'll dine on this forever. It puts the Crusaders, I can happily just put the Crusaders out of my mind for a little bit and just dine out on the Black Caps.
Okay. No, that's a nice call. That's a nice call, Mikey. Really appreciate it. Justin says disagree with call. Great cloud cover and humid. Southey needs to open. Well, that's the flip side. I was actually just talking to Harry in the comm box about that. He actually mooted, why not open Southey and Sears, then bring Henry on to then a point of difference where you get through the first change and boom, you've got the best bowler. I thought that was an interesting take on it. We'll have more after this. Don't go anywhere. I've got your texts. I've got your calls. Only here for another 20 minutes before the lads take over, which could be a special day at Hagley. I'm starting to feel it as the crowd comes in. People are here. They expect, and I think we probably should. We've earned that. We are 15 minutes away from 10 o'clock, 15 minutes away from Daniel McCarty taking over here at Hagley Oval. It is clearing. It is getting lighter by the minute. It is damp on the outfield. That is the word from the lads that have been down there and got nice and close to the earth. Here's a weird text. Did you see that Geordie Barrett is playing in the Golf New Zealand Amateur Stroke Play starting Thursday, which is also a Charles Tour event? Cheers, Chris. No, I didn't see that, Chris, but good on him. I suppose he's doing bugger all else at the moment because he doesn't know how to tackle properly. That'll be cool. Maybe we'll have to look into that. Cliff's in Dunedin. Cliffy, you got about 90 seconds, mate. How much would it mean to you to beat the Aussies today?
Oh, look. Morning, Louis. Huge. The 74 series, I remember I was 12. It was one of the first, was on TV in those days. It was the same year as the Commonwealth Games. So it was a bit of live cricket.
I remember Glenn Turner got those 200s. He seemed to, everybody in New Zealand just about ran on the field and hit him on the head and the shoulders, patting him on the back, and it was amazing. But I think Mitchell Marsh is the guy. He got the Border medal. He's got something to prove out there, and if he could bring this game home for them, would be a big thing, and Captain Cummings. So if we can nip out somebody early, and hopefully Marsh, we've got a chance. And look, Henry, and amazing, 9 wickets already in this test. You know, I take my hat off to him. He has done the hard yards to get into this team, to be where he is now, leading this attack. And down the track, I'm hoping that Earl and Jameson and Sears might be with him, leading New Zealand's bowling. And I think we'll have a bit of something there.
That's right, Cliff. It could be a very potent attack if we can get all the pieces healthy at the same time. Jared, you're here in Christchurch. Jared, it is clearing. I'm just checking the rain radar. We should be okay for a start, hopefully, if it's light enough. What do you expect from today, mate?
Mate, I'm expecting a Black Caps win, Louie.
Love it.
Day off today. I'm going to be sitting in my man cave, listening to Smithy and Coney on the radio, but watching it on the TV, and I'm pumped, and I'm expecting a win.
Okay.
And I hope it's a good omen that 50 years ago that we got our first Test win here at Old Lancaster Park, mate. I just want to see us, and in context of the season and where we're going forward, it's so important we win this today.
I think it's an amazing piece of symmetry that 50 years ago, nearly to the day, we got our first over them. And in my lifetime, we've never beaten them at home in Test cricket. So I'd like to change that. And hopefully we can, Jared. Bloody good call, mate. Nice to talk. Nice to talk to everybody. A bit of love racing before we wrap the show this hour, and then it will be the lads taking over here from our beautiful position at Hagley Oval. McCarty will be leading off after 10 o'clock. This could be a special day. Don't go anywhere. Stay listening to SENZ.
The Love Racing Update. Your home for everything thoroughbred racing. Visit loveracing.nz, racing's biggest fan.
Okay then, let's do some love racing to wrap this hour. It's been wonderful being with you for the build-up to Hagley Oval's very historic day, potentially, as the weather finds here in Christchurch at Hagley. Gee, this could be a special one. Just a second, Daniel McCarty will take over with Ian Smith, Jeremy Coney, the whole crew will get you through till 11 o'clock, where hopefully we will have the first ball of what could be a very special day, as I say. But there was lots of racing over the weekend. No Good Oil show. Very disappointing, but we will be back this week. So, the Oaks are this week at Trentham, and we'll be back, I believe, for the Good Oil this Saturday afternoon. Now, I'll just go through these results here at Ellerslie for you, because, boy, there was some good racing at Ellerslie for Auckland Cup Day. So good to see Pearl of Alsace. I thought McNabb was very, very gentle on her, and she did that mostly under her own work, winning the Royal Descent Stakes. So she'll go on to that Fillies and Mares Group 1 now. Some nice runs in behind, actually. Claire Alley gave her something to chase for sure. Adam I Am, so he was a weight special. Tony Pike kind of declared that. Interesting to see he closed off at $1.90. Maybe Pikey had a bet. Not sure. But Michael McNabb rode the first two, and then after Wolfgang won the Stayers race, Valdezoldo into third there. Nabba picked up the fourth with Hattrick. So a pretty good start to the day for Michael McNabb. He was flying along. Spratty jumped back on Velocious, and Velocious is just too good. She got to sit outside the leader and just was too strong for those other fillies. I thought Archaic Smile was very good for Tony Pike. You know I was pretty keen on Archaic Smile on an each way basis. Well, you got 240 a place, so happy with that. And Captured by Love just got a little bit lost on the bend. Now, what about the boil over of the day? El Vencedor beating Legato. Well, that shows how you should beat a hot pot. Get out in front, run them, stack them, sprint, and she couldn't beat him. She couldn't get past him. Interestingly enough, he did smack her going out of the home straight the first time. And I wonder if she maybe wasn't feeling 100%. Be interesting to see what happens with Legato from here. Ladies man running into third again. Michael McNabb, a pretty big day. But that was a brilliant ride by Joe Doyle. Craig Grills on Provence weaved through the field. That was hectic speed in that race to my eye. Anyway, we'll talk to Stephen Hunt tomorrow and get the speed ratings for the day. Maharajan, wow, wow, wow. Sean Ritchie, Cole Murray, these boys can train at Steyr. Won the New Zealand Cup. How did we overlook it for the Auckland Cup? I don't know if we all did, but it was only going to be a certain number of horses that would run this 3,200 out. We knew he could do it at the elite level. Big win, maybe a Melbourne Cup contender later in the year. Who knows? We'll see what sort of weight he'd get. Long way to go, but really, really good stuff. And how about Good Oil running into second? Sam Spratt aboard Good Oil. Good on you, Forsman. I mean, this is a little horse, but massive ticker. Mark Twain was absolutely slashing at them. Probably just got going a little bit too late, Matt Cameron. Major winning the last four. Grilsey. And that was a really nice day at Ellerslie for Auckland Cup week. So as I say, we've got the Oaks this week. Imperatory is a really brave second, just beaten by the colt on, giving it 7.5 kgs, I think it was. Imperatory is, she will keep absolutely some interesting results up there in Sydney. Of course, we've got Orchestral going around in the Vinery and probably the Oaks as well. So we've got lots to look forward to for the rest of autumn across the ditch. All-Star Mile this week, Desert Lightning, and remember Punchura getting a call up. Robbie Patterson going to saddle a horse in the All-Star Mile. Craig Grills is going across to ride. So lots to focus on. Loveracing.nz for all of those wonderful stories. Thanks to everybody for listening this hour. Cricket coming up. Daniel McCarty. This could be a very, very, very special day here at Hagley Oval. I hope you enjoy it. Soak it in wherever you are listening around the country. Don't go anywhere. SENZ, your home for Test cricket. How good does that sound?